I am so happy to have Susie on the line. Susie has a degree in experiential education and eco-psychology. She owns and operates Interdependence Natural Foods. And when I first went in the store, I just was enlightened by how fun and joyful and wonderful and delicious the food tasted, which sometimes I don't find in a lot of health food stores. So I really love talking to you, Susie. You know a lot about things, and that helps, of course. And I thought, you know, let's talk about what happens when it gets hot, because it's been getting hot, right?
Very hot. It's 100 today in Sedona.
That's hot, yeah. And they're expecting heat waves to break records, of course. I mean, I can't even imagine Phoenix, right? What it was in Phoenix, mm-hmm. or Vegas is supposed to be breaking 100, too, and So you have to kind of go in a different way of drinking water, keeping yourself hydrated, and thinking about your whole health of your body and feeling good at the same time when it's hot. You know, my first thought was, of course, you want to drink more water, right? But then there's this issue I wanted to talk to you about. I go and buy those plastic things that you drink from Starbucks. You buy those coffee things you buy. They're not cheap either. And I put my water in them, and sometimes I leave them in the car. And I had a friend said, you know, you shouldn't necessarily just do that with water. It's better to drink from maybe an aluminum water container. What do you think?
Yeah, aluminum's not perfect either. All of us have too much aluminum in our bodies.
Yeah.
But I think it might be a step better than the hot plastics when the plastic's sitting in the car. Plastics have BPA, and they're called phthalates, and parabens, and they're endocrine disruptors.
I didn't know that.
So they mess with our, they're basically like a mimicker of estrogen. We call them xenoestrogens, and they will mess with our endocrine system.
Well, I don't know.
So that can affect a bunch of things.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. Is a glass bottle the best?
Yes, definitely. Glass, cool. Or if you have a reusable stainless steel, that's a good one.
What kind of steel?
Stainless steel.
Stainless steel. So that's important to know. Of course, you're gonna have to keep some ice in that stainless steel, because otherwise the water could turn pretty hot pretty quickly, couldn't it?
They do make insulated canteens, like hydro flasks.
Ah.
So it'll hold either a hot beverage or a cold beverage, and they do pretty well.
Do you drink a lot more water on days like this when it's about 100 and more? Do you drink a lot more water?
Oh, yeah. And I'll put some minerals in there for absorption, especially if we're sweating. You know, we want to replace those minerals we're sweating out.
Yeah, that's important to remember, because you do, and sometimes you don't even realize how much you're sweating, actually. I heard, you know, I read this a few times. Did you know that your feet have 250,000 sweat glands in them? 250,000?
Wow.
Yeah, that's why your feet get so sweaty.
Makes sense.
That's where when you're hot, that's how your body aerates itself. It's through the sweat glands in your feet. So it's good to have something to make sure you have good socks, I guess, as well. Or have sandals that get air through them, right, when you're doing that. I have to say, I'm a fan of iced tea. And I, for a while, was addicted to some of those iced teas until I found out I was drinking a lot of stuff in some of those iced teas I was drinking that weren't very good for you, like corn syrup. You know, I don't know how many people really look at the ingredients. You think iced tea is better than a soft drink, right? But then you don't always check the ingredients.
I've become such an ingredient reader, maybe because I'm so sensitive, but if there's anything in something that doesn't agree with me, I feel it.
So a lot of these drinks that you buy in commercial, like when you stop at a gas station or something, a lot of the drinks that you might buy, you know, that are prevalent in iced tea, you really should check the ingredients, shouldn't you? Because you might be thinking you're doing something good for yourself, and you actually could be overloading yourself with some of the sweeteners, like corn syrup. And even the artificial sweeteners you have to be careful of, don't you?
For sure.
Yeah. I, truthfully, me, I don't know, Susie. I cannot handle artificial sweeteners. I've tried, you know, because I think, well, less fat. But something in me really reacts badly to artificial sweeteners.
I mean, there have been studies done on lab rats, and some of these sweeteners cause tumors and cancers. And there's a variety out there, but some of the ones that I would feel more okay with would be like monk fruit. Mm-hmm. And then some other ones in moderation, like stevia or coconut sugar, nectar, and not a ton of them, but a little goes a long way.
Coconut sugar and stevia. Also, you had, when I was in your store, I saw some iced teas that actually were very good, that didn't have bad ingredients. And I think there's some people now, some manufacturers are trying to put out iced teas that are more healthy. Which ones would you recommend?
The one you got, I believe, was by Seven Teas. They're a clean company. There's also, in the realm of unsweetened teas, there's, it's on the tip of my brain.
Oh, is it Honest Tea?
I have seen Honest Tea, but I haven't checked them out very thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
Teonic, they have some with different herbs for different, supporting different organ systems, so they're medicinal teas.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I guess you could always make your own, right? I mean, that, you know, it's so funny when we look at the prices some of these natural teas get. At some point, you know, because everything's gone up, at some point you go, maybe it's good to buy some tea bags and just make your own tea and then put some ice in it. Make sure it's a natural tea, right? I happen to love that.
And then you can put whatever in it to sweeten it you want to use.
Honey's not a bad idea, right?
No.
I remember I got the one I got there at your store was, and I love Tulsi Rose Tea. But you had a rose tea that was really delicious in a large bottle. I'd never seen it in an iced tea before. I'd seen the tea bags, right? And I love, I'm almost addicted to the Tulsi Rose tea bags. But I hadn't seen it in a bottle before I went to your place. And I love that. That was very, very good. And then again, you got to be aware, you know, if you're drinking a lot of iced tea, as is possible when you're hot. You got to look at, I guess, the level of caffeine and other things you have with it as well. You can always go back to simple mint tea, right? Mint tea is refreshing, and you can get mint tea without caffeine, right?
You can even, if you're brewing your own, you can make any sorts of combinations like mint and hibiscus and lemon balm and chamomile and lavender. Those are all delicious as iced tea.
And put a little honey in there? That sounds good. Mm-hmm. I think I need to get a good container and do that. I really do. Also, when it's hot like this, do people want to eat more salads or do they want to eat more snacks? Or what's the natural thing to do when it gets hot?
I think the body knows. If the body is feeling like eating lighter, it'll eat lighter. Sometimes that happens in the hot weather.
Mm-hmm.
I still make sure I get my stabilizing foods in there. But there are some days that I may crave a juice or just be a little more sparse in my eating.
Yeah, you know what I like? And I don't see in a lot of places, but I love a cool soup like gazpacho soup or something. You don't see a lot of cool served soups, do you? But, you know, it's interesting that it's from Spain. They, where it gets really hot, of course, you have the gazpacho soup. And for some reason, I like that so much more than tomato soup, right? I just find it refreshing. Actually, I'm going to talk to Lisa Dahl today, and she makes an excellent gazpacho soup, of course, because she features her Latin cuisine, actually from South America, I believe, down there at Mariposa. And that's where I had I had a wonderful gazpacho soup. And there's something about a good soup like that can be nice and served up well. I think they go back to what's the classic potato? I forget the name of the classic potato soup that you can chill as well. But then salads are really nice. What would you recommend? What do you have? What do you like in a salad, Susie?
I like local greens just because they're the most vibrant. I think the sooner from picking time, the more nutrient dense they are, and you can really tell a difference. And I think once you have either something you grew in your own garden or that you bought locally, you never want to go back to even certified organic from the bigger stores. It's just not as bright feeling as the fresh stuff.
Well, we have.
So that's my number one thought on that.
And what do you put in your salads?
This morning I had some red oak lettuce and some arugula for my garden. I might do like some carrot shreds or some radish shreds, and I make my own dressing, just particularly because a lot of the store-bought dressings have oils I'm not a fan of, but also I get to customize it, and I just keep a big bottle of it on the counter. It's usually olive oil and apple cider vinegar, and we have a local gal that does a savory herb blend I put in there with powdered greens like nettles and red clover, and I'll sweeten it with a little bit of maple syrup and a little bit of salt, and I just shake it up, and it's delicious.
Sounds good. It sounds good. I happen to be the one of those people that like the toppings on a salad more than the salad. Sometimes I order a salad, and it's like I'll pour a dressing over it, and I like the toppings more than the salad. You know, I like a good Greek salad, you know. With some of those things that are in there. I think we need to talk also, because when it's hot like this, I mean, juicing and juices can be really refreshing and good. And, you know, it's become huge to do this, you know, kind of, what's it called? It's not called sporadic fasting. What's it called where you do spacing between your eating your food? But juicing is really pretty amazing. And I have to admit, I did buy one of those $300 juicers, you know, those really expensive juicers. The thing is, you have to really kind of know what you're putting in there, because a lot of times I like to put beets, baby beets. I like blueberries. I will also put in bananas, right, in there. And then I will kind of maybe fill it up with some almond milk or something. But I happen to really love Naked Juices, and so I'll fill it out sometimes with that too. Although I know Naked Juices have, I guess, a lot of sugar, natural sugar, but sugar in them. What would you suggest for if you had a juicer to do for juices on a hot day?
Well, it sounds like, are you doing juices or smoothies? Maybe you're blending them up?
I'm doing smoothies, yeah. I'm doing
smoothies, there we go.
Yeah, you're right, smoothies, yeah.
So that sounds delicious. It is, if I have a lot of fruit sugar, it destabilizes my blood sugar. That's something that I watch with myself.
Mm.
Some people do just fine with lots of bananas and fruits. Honestly, I really like some romaine, some avocado, some greens, dark leafy greens of some kind with a lemon. You can even put the whole lemon in there with the rind if it's organic.
Really?
And blend it up with some ice, and then you put a drop of stevia in there. Or I don't do a lot of stevia, but just a little bit. And it's super refreshing. Some water just to thin it out. Maybe like a cucumber, because they're so juicy and hydrating and full of good things like silica. And it's not a sweet smoothie, but it... Oh, and you know what? Sometimes some mint. Mint leaf or two.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's delicious.
Yeah, that sounds good. What about watermelon?
Watermelon's super yummy. You can even freeze the watermelon and blend it up for like a slushy.
I like that. I mean, and it's kind of... It's refreshing, but it's also kind of a diuretic, isn't it?
It can be.
Yeah. Which isn't bad for me, actually. I kind of could use that. But there is something. I tell you, the watermelons. Oh, my God. I don't know about that. Right? It's like watermelons here have gotten expensive. I mean, it's like, whoa, it's an investment now to get a watermelon. You can spend $13 on a watermelon here. You know, it's like, wow, that's a gourmet item now, right? It's like, whoa, what happened? What happened to watermelon? But, you know, when you do snacks on a hot day, you know, sometimes people won't do a heavy meal, but they'll snack. What would you recommend for snacks on a hot day?
Well, I think I do the same snacks on a hot day or on a cold day. But on a hot day, I love fresh things. Like, I'm more inclined to have things like jicama in the summer. That's one of my favorite crunchy fresh things. Cucumbers, and a friend of mine taught me to put a little spirulina and salt and hot sauce on there.
Wow.
And that is actually really good. What else? Apples and cinnamon, apples and some sort of nut butter.
Yeah, apples are really good, and you can have the I like almond nut butter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. That's really excellent, right? Those are good suggestions. I mean, because apples you can put in a little plastic bag and carry it with you, or put it in take it to work and put it in the refrigerator, and they're a good snack. I mean, carrots sometimes. I mean, I can't do too many carrots. Carrots can be kind of that, you know, but I like some of those suggestions, you know. I can go crazy and eat too many of those really hot almonds and barbecue and the super really tangy, I guess spicy even, almonds, you know, I can do, and I like, you know. But if you give me a little jar, and they're not cheap either, oh my God, I can go through them. I can go through the whole thing, you know. They're kind of addictive in a way, that salty stuff, right?
Yeah.
You got to be careful with that stuff. It's like,
salt can be good, though.
Well, that's right. Hot days. Enemy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good
point. You
just
got to listen to your cravings, and if you're craving salt, then have some salt.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think about eggs?
I go on and off myself. I don't think there's anything wrong with eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I just listen to my body, and I go through phases of craving them and then not wanting them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in an off phase right now. But I think, you know, one theme for me recently has just been just tuning in. And that goes for supplements, that goes for food, that goes for everything. Because we can study things to death, but ultimately there's so many factors that the easiest way is just to tune in and ask our body, do you want that right now? And if so, then maybe it's good for me.
Well, and that's great advice. I have a hard time with that because I'm a stress eater. But if you do tune in, then you can short circuit that factor that wants the stress eating happening, I think. Because then you take a pause before the reaction of just eating to overcome stress. I think that tuning in is a really vital key. And I think I need to develop that. That's not a habit or a process I've really been able to develop. And I think I have to really start programming my mind to think that way. Because it's just not a way I've lived, you know. And I really respect you, Susie, for being able to do that, to be able to say, to ask your body, to be enough in tune with your body, to say, well, how does this feel? How do you feel about this? Does this feel good? And then, your body, I guess, if you ask it, will then even make a point of letting you know more how it works for you, right?
You start a dialogue, and then it just gets stronger over time.
You just have to listen. Sometimes your body will scream at you if you don't listen.
Yes.
You don't listen
good.
That's
one way to learn.
Yes, that's one way to
learn. And then you get to the stage where you start, you know, knowing what it's going to feel like before you have to go there. And then, you know, sometimes I would even tune into something and I would feel a negative reaction even before I ate it. And it would kind of give me a heads up, like, that's how it's going to make me feel if I do eat it.
Wow, interesting.
And I think the more you practice, the more that starts happening, and
it
set up a two-way street.
A dialogue. A dialogue. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it, I guess. You know so much about food, and you said you grow, so do you have a little garden in your backyard or something?
Yeah, this is my first year having one, so I'm still a new gardener, but I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful, because you know if you plant it and grow it that you don't have any chemicals or poison in the food because you put it in the ground yourself, right?
Imagine that, no poison in the food.
What a concept. Well, you know, on top of that, there's people who say that it's good to eat food that's grown in the area where you live. Because the area where you live has more of the energy that you need to sustain itself in that place that you're living. Have you ever heard that before?
I have heard that, and that resonates.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems to resonate with me as well. And I do like that that there are people, more and more restaurants being supplied by local, and stores like yours being supplied by local people who do grow and produce products. And you know, it's a beautiful circle at that point, because you know, if you can support them, and then people come and enjoy it and find it works for you, then you can support them and they can support you. And I know you do carry items that are done. I think I can remember the one that's the apple cider vinegar. What else do you have from local people?
We have local honey and bee pollen. We have local raw milk. We have local meats and eggs. We have local produce. We have locally crafted things, but they aren't necessarily grown here. Mm-hmm. Although, like, for example, our local rye bread maker, he started recently sourcing some of his rye locally.
Nice.
So we have some grown in the next town over, and he's been utilizing that rye.
There's something about a good rye bread, isn't there? Once you have
it's satisfying.
Yeah, there's something about a good rye bread that's rich and full and kind of has this taste bud explosion that happens, right?
Yes.
I love a good rye bread, you know? Well, people can also find you online, or you can call. What's your website?
Interdependence Foods with an S on the end, .com.
And you're at 20-81-89A. In Sedona, right down from the movie theaters there. You can call if you're in Sedona, 92... Oh, you can call if you're not in Sedona. You can call anyway. 928-204-2185. That's 928-204-2185. And Susie's a wealth of knowledge and a good resource. And I think that is part of what is your... We have a word in Hawaii called kuleana, your responsibility. If you do have a place of your own in a health food store, especially to pass along the information and the quality and a little bit of what you know when people come in. And I think that's a beautiful gift. And I thank you for your service and for being a person who does make sure they care and provide wonderful products for the community. So I thank you very much, Susie. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And I just say, you know, when it gets hot, stay cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. A big aloha. Bye-bye.
Aloha.